patient on this, Almighty God. We worship you this morning. We exalt your holy name. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. We thank you, Father, because you are the mighty Jehovah. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done for us. We thank you, Father, for every good thing that you have bestowed upon our lives. We exalt your name. We cannot fathom your greatness in our life. But Father, we say, blessed be thy name, King of glory, in Jesus' name. Father, as we go into your presence, in your word, we pray, O Lord, that you minister the life of your word unto us. The psalmist says that the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding unto the simple hearted. Father, we pray that as we come before your throne this morning, that Father, you expatiate your word in our hearts, that Father, you draw us closer unto you, and Father, that you have your, make your word alive in us. Father, we worship you, O Lord, as our God of grace and God of mercy. We pray, Father, for your mercy this morning, that by the mercy of your word, Father, we will touch your throne, and Father, you reveal yourself more and clearer unto us. In Jesus' name we are prayed. In Jesus' name we are prayed. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Please have your seat. Let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I'll read from verse 12. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12. From verse 12. New King James Version. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I made between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is on the earth. I want to bless the name of the Lord for this day. I want to appreciate God Almighty for giving us the privilege to witness yet another day before him. And I want to acknowledge and appreciate the pastor, sir, for giving me the opportunity to minister at this service. The topic before us this morning that the Holy Spirit has given to me is a rainbow of God's mercy. The rainbow of God's mercy. God's covenant with Noah and the children, and children, men on earth, as at the time of this event, is that before the rainbow came, some things have happened. But before we go and look at the things that have happened, when we talk about rainbow, what do you understand by rainbow? The sign that God gave as a covenant between him and the children of men. In science, we talk about rainbow as a meteorological phenomena that is caused by scattering between light and water, droplets of water. If you have droplets of water and light falls on it, reflection, refraction, and dispersion of light causes the water to be scattered into different colors. And when the light strikes the colors of droplets of water, there is a spectrum of light in different colors. You have red, green, blue, indigo, violet, yellow, seven colors. They are beautiful aesthetics. They are beautiful colors that we see. We see them in the cloud. Actually, when the rainbow comes, you only see the arc. You don't see the end of the rainbow. You don't see the beginning. The rainbow comes as a circle, but you can only see a part of it. It does just not appear anytime. If you go out now, you cannot see rainbow. But before you can see the rainbow, before the rainbow appears, some things must have happened. In the physical realm, before the rainbow appears, you must have seen thick, dark clouds. And when you see the thick, dark clouds, you know that, yes, there's going to be rainfall. After the thick, dark clouds, Normally, you will see every wind. Everywhere, there will be turbulence, there will be wind, every wind turning things upside down. And in the process, there could be thunderstorm. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, that while the house remaineth, seed time and harvest season shall be. There is time for cold, time for summer, time for winter, time for heat, time for day, time for night, time for rainy period. This shall not cease. That means part of the natural events that the Lord has established, all that the Lord knows about, is that there will be time for rain. There will be time for storming. For stormy wind, there will be time for thunderstorm. There will be time for dark clouds. There will be time for so many events. But one thing is sure, that at the end of all this period or all these seasons, there is always a hope. There is always peace at the end of the tunnel. There is always rainbow, which is a covenant of God with man, which is a covenant that God made with his people and himself. Very soon we'll enter into the rainy period. We have started entering into it. There are some rain droplets somehow in some parts, though it has not. We have not seen it as we ought to have seen it. In the midst of the droplets of water, in the shining of it, the rainbow shows that God's hand is in everything. God's hand is in every situation. In the time of Noah, if you go back, we wrote back our Bible to Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. Then the heart was corrupt. The whole place was bad. Men, children of men were not ready to listen to God again. And they were ready to do their own will. They were not in koinonia with God. And the Bible says that God was not happy with men. And God said, I'm going to destroy men from the face of the earth. The men in the heart were corrupt before God. And the heart was filled with all kinds of sins, all kinds of unlawfulness, all kinds of things that are not pleasing to the Lord. But in Genesis chapter 10, chapter 7, if you look at verses 10 to verse 12, Genesis chapter 7, and it came to pass after the 7 days, God told Noah that he should build a ark. That after the 7 days, it came to pass that the flood of the heart, flood were on heart in the 600th year of Noah's life. That is, Noah was 600 years. In the second month, in the month on the day of the fountains of the great deeps, the Bible says that God opened the deeps. When we say God opened the deeps, ni Yoruba, ni Oluwa Shibusile. The deeps are where we have the reservoir of water, where you can open and then water can gush out. And the Bible says that apart from rain, God opened the deeps. And the deeps were opened and the whole earth were filled with water. But then, probably earlier on, God was telling Noah, you are going to make an ark. You are going to do this. I'm going to save you and your family. And Noah kept on telling children of men. And they said Noah was just dreaming. Because as at that time, the Bible averaged that it has not rained for a long time. They thought it would not rain. But the rain came. The Lord opened the flood. And the Lord made sure that there was the water kept on gushing for 40 days and 40 nights. And everything that has breath and the spirit of life, the Bible says everything died. All of them, irrespective of their status, irrespective of their whatever they have, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are mighty, whether they are president, whether they are weak, whether they can speak and the whole heart can shake, the Bible says everything died. The beautiful, the handsome, the literate and the illiterate. Whatever your position, whatever their position was, whatever they have, whatever, you know, these days people will say, if there's anything that is going on, I can easily use my money, I can buy jet, I can buy the aeroplane, I can decide to leave this country within a GV. But at that time, there was no place of hiding for men. And the Bible says that everything died. even including animals, including creepy things, including things that are living, anything that has breath that is living, they all died. This shows the mightiness of God. It shows the extent of the greatness of God. God can be a merciful God, and God can be a God of judgment. He has the power to kill. He has the power to create. He has the power to give life. He has the power to build, and our God has the power to destroy. But in the midst of this chaos, the mercy of God appeared. I pray that the mercy of God will appear unto you in Jesus' name. The mercy of God appeared unto Noah. The mercy of God was bestowed upon Noah and his family. And in chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. This morning, I don't know what you are passing through. I don't know the situation that you may be in. Put yourself in the place of Noah. For 40 days, they were in the ark, himself and his children, and all the things that God said that they should go in into the ark with him. And lo and behold, they were expecting. Humanly speaking, somehow, they will have seen that everything have died. That probably it is also coming to them. That probably they too, something may happen to them. But the Bible says that God remembered Noah and God gave him hope. It was a deterministic decision. It was a determined action. It was not a mental process. It was not something that God is thinking over. God determined, he proposed. And when God mentioned it, that I'm going to remember Noah, I'm going to do him good, immediately everything started changing. God made sure that all the deeps were locked. God made sure that all the water resided. And for the Bible says, for many days, about 150 days, the water dried up. The water dried up because when the flood came, actually by the time when Noah released the dove came back, and by the time the ark was landing, it landed on the mountain Arafat. And the history has it that mountain was 17,000 feet above the earth. Brethren, God establishes his covenant with men. He establishes his covenant with them. And behold, the Bible says, God said, I will establish my covenant with you. Up to today, God is establishing his covenant with his own children. For as many that are ready, like Noah, to listen to the voice of God, to listen to the calling of God, and to do according to his will and purposes. And now what are the things that are expected of us? The keys to accessing the mercy of God. Rainbows of God's mercy is still in existence. Rainbows of God's mercy is still operating. And that mercy is still operating up till now, before it is too late. There will be a day that you call for that mercy, that the mercy will not be there. But now that you have the mercy near you, what are the things that you need to do to be able to access the mercy of God? Let's quickly look at them. Number one is obedience. Obedience. Noah obeyed God. In that, in everything, Noah never questioned God. For every instruction that God gave, Noah obeyed it to the last letter. And Noah made sure that he constructed the ark according to what the prescription given by God. And God saved him. Today, how many of us are ready to obey? If you are not ready to obey God in every little thing, then God cannot commit much into your hand. Because when God is going to save, God, it will take you, your action, your cooperation with God, for God to be able to save you. If Noah had not cooperated with God, it would have been difficult for God to save him. Probably he would have also perished with the people on earth as at that time. Number two, we need repentance. Genuine repentance. Repentance from our old ways. Repentance from tinu minimashe. Repentance from our own thinking. Repentance from ourselves. Repentance from things that we think, that is how I want to do it. And we have to repent and do what God wants us to do. The Bible tells us that David repented. And when he acknowledged his sin, he came to repentance, according to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, and also Psalm 51. I want us to go and look at Psalm 51 when we get back home. He acknowledged his sins. He acknowledged where he has erred. He acknowledged where he has missed it. And he came back to God. And God draw him closer. And God restore him. I pray that God will bring restoration to every life that is ready to repent today in Jesus' name. And the next one is holiness. Holiness in all things. The mercy of God are for those who are willing, who are ready to walk in holiness with God. Holiness in the things, in our life, holiness in the ways of the Lord, holiness according to his purpose and his counsel. In Joseph, in Genesis chapter 39, the Bible tells us about Joseph. Joseph said, "Will I do these things and sin against my God?" Genesis 39 verse 6 following, he decided in his mind to keep himself holy. And God visited him despite the fact that he moved from being a servant to prison for that little holiness. But the Bible recorded it that God was always with him. Even in prison, God was with Joseph. In prison, God followed him there. The Bible says that he found favor before the people in the prison, before the leaders in the prison, and before every other person. And God started working wonders in his life. And the Bible tells us that even despite the fact that when he was in prison, God was using him to heal, to release many others, especially the butler and the chief baker, interpreting their dreams and believing that the one that was restored, that he will remember him. Sometimes when we put our trust in men, men can deny us. Men can forget us. It is the nature of man to fail, but it's not in the nature of God to fail. The Bible tells us that when it was exactly 2 years, the Lord remembered Joseph. I pray that God will remember you in Jesus' name. I pray that God will remember you in Jesus' name. The hand of the Lord will remember you and he will lift you up in the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the hand of the Lord lifted Joseph. And Joseph became the second in command of Pharaoh, according to chapter 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. The Pharaoh's dream brought Joseph to the palace of Pharaoh. And not only that, in verse 42, Pharaoh gave him everything. The Bible says, then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck and so many other things and committed all the kingdom of Egypt into his hand. And he says, "You are in charge." That was the work God did in the life of Joseph. Also in the life of Daniel. Daniel proposed in his heart, himself and the three Hebrew friends, that they were going to walk in the purpose of God. They were not going to deny them. They were not going to do according to the will of the king. They are not going to eat the food of the king. They are not going to defile themselves. How many of us propose in your heart that I'm not going to defile myself? Our youths of today, how many of us constantly keep yourself for the Lord? Say, "I am not going to defile myself. Those things that my friends are dragging me into, I'm going to live my life for Christ. I'm going to live my life in holiness. I'm going to commit myself to the work of the Lord, and I'm not going to defile myself." I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name to be able to live a life that pleases him and to walk in his ways in the perfect will and counsel of God in Jesus' name. And the next one is faith. Our faith in the Lord. The Bible says that woman, according to Mark chapter 5 verse 25, let's quickly look at Mark chapter 5 verse 25. Let's go to the New Testament. That woman with the issue of blood, she proposed in her heart that if only she can touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She was thinking, I begin to wonder, what could have happened to that woman? The Bible says the woman has issue of blood for many, many years. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. He says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and has suffered many things from many physicians. She has gone to so many places. She has gone to see so many doctors. She has gone even among our group. I believe that she will not be able to sit down among them. And in those days, among the Hebrews, if you look at Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25 to 28, even a woman that has issue of blood is considered to be unclean. So she's not even supposed to sit among her peers. She's not supposed to be in the group of the people, and she's not supposed to touch anybody. She's not supposed to touch Jesus Christ. And if you look at the verse 28, it says, even after that woman has been made clean, 7 days she's supposed to be away from the community. But here is this woman, and the Bible says that she just wished in her heart that if only she could touch the hem of Jesus Christ, if only I could touch the hem of his garments, and I know I will be made whole. And the Bible says instantly, at the instant when she touches the hem of Jesus Christ, the Bible says she was made whole. Jesus Christ says, I know power went out of me. His disciples were telling, Master, there are so many people here. He says, I know. I pray only if you only trust Jesus Christ. Only if you come with your faith. Only if you could only tell Jesus Christ, here I am. Only if you could reveal yourself unto him. Jesus Christ is spreading the hand of love, is saying, come unto me, and I will make you whole. Brethren, let us come to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ today to touch the hem of his garment. No matter what the problem may be, either physical, either spiritual, either academical, trust in the Lord Jesus. Put everything at his feet. Turn to Jesus Christ. He alone can save you. Also, let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 to 34. The Bible talks about the two blind men. Those two blind men, they had the voices. They could not see. How I wish they could see. Because if you close your eyes, wherever you are, as you are sitting down, if you close your eyes, you will know that it is not easy to be a blind person. Because they are totally dark. Everything they see around them, even when there is sunlight, when there is light, is darkness. The Bible says that they could not see anything. And the Bible says that when they heard that Jesus Christ was passing by, they called unto Jesus. Chapter 20, verse 29. They said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, have mercy on us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, do what? Have mercy on me. Are you going to call on Jesus Christ today? If only you can call on him, he's by your side. Call on him that he should have mercy on you, and Jesus Christ will have mercy on you. And the next thing is service unto the Lord. What is your service unto the Lord? In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, and verse 13, verse 57, we talked about Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. The Bible says that Elizabeth was barren for many, many years. He was barren, and he was Zechariah's wife. Zechariah was a prophet, remember? But Elizabeth was daily serving God with her husband until the Lord visited them, until the Lord appeared unto them. And in that situation, in that state, she received from the Lord. What is your service unto the Lord? Many of us, when we are called to come and serve the Lord, we give excuses. You have so many excuses, the reason why you cannot serve God. I pray that you will serve God when it is time for you to serve God. Because sometimes those reasons, the reason why you cannot serve God, if situation comes around, you will look for a way to serve God. Nobody will preach to you to go and serve him before you serve him. I pray that we'll be ready, we'll be humble, and we'll give ourselves unto the Lord in Jesus' name. The next thing is humility, humility of mind. Humility of mind, brokenness in our spirit. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. The Bible talks about Naaman. Naaman, he was a man of war. Naaman, he was the head of the warrior of the Syrian man. The Bible tells us that as much as Naaman was a great man, as much as Naaman was a man of war, As much as Naaman has name, he was a commander of the army of the king of Syria, but he was a leper. There was a little but in his life. And that but, he was carrying it all about. Even when people, when he goes around and they stand up and, you know, they give him all the acronym. But there is something missing in his life. And every time he looked at himself, he knew that he was not complete. He was a leper. And the Bible tells us that God sent somebody into his life. The maid, the wife's maid, a captive young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's life. And she said to her mistress, Madam, if you don't mind, I've seen Oga, but there's somebody who could touch him. There is somebody who could heal Oga, and that person is in our place. And the Bible tells us that Naaman, initially, you know, if he's as a great man, he may not want to listen to the girl, but he listened. Somehow, the wife was able to convince him. And he went and met with the man of God. And he met Elisha. And in chapter verse 10, the Bible says that Elisha sent a message to him, say, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored. Initially, he thought, go to Jordan, River Jordan, of all the rivers. There are so many beautiful rivers, good rivers, clean one, but River Jordan. And the people following him say, Oga, is it not just for you to go 7 times? Humility. Where is our humility before the Lord? Sometimes the things that God will want us to do to be able to receive his mercy, they are minor things. They are things that we do not count on. Please, brethren, let's come to the presence of the Lord. Let's come with open mind to be able to serve God. Let's come with open mind to be able to receive from the Lord. Let's come with open mind so that the Lord will touch us, so that the Lord will touch our needs, so that the Lord will remember us for good, so that the Lord will remember us for his mercy. In our present time, our New Testament age, the rainbow of God's mercy is in form of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come as our Lord and Savior, the restorer of our soul, the salvation, the person has come to give us salvation, to show us mercy. As many that are ready to receive him, as many that are ready to open the doors of their heart unto him, Jesus Christ is ready, stretching forth his hand. The Bible tells us that he stands at the door of our heart. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, I knock. As many that will open their hearts unto me, I will come unto him, and he unto me, and you shall die with me. Noah's ark is a salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready to enter today's Noah's ark? Are you ready to enter into the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for him? Do you have time for him? Where do you place Jesus Christ? Even those of us that have given our life to Christ, how much do you commune with him? How much do you have fellowship with him? Where is the place of Jesus Christ in your life? In the place of your worship, in the place of prayers, and in place of the word of God? How daily do you get closer to him? How daily do you touch the throne of grace? If you are already in the ark, do you want to remain in the ark, or are you trying to get out of the ark? But if you are not in the ark, I will plead with you this morning. The Lord is calling on you. The Lord is willing that all of us are the last day that will reign at his feet. Finally, let's look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 following. Where is the Lord calling us unto? At the last day, what is God saying unto you? At the last day, the mercy will no more be there, but will be the seat of judgment. Today, it is the throne of mercy. It is the seat of mercy. It is the rainbow of God's mercy. And that rainbow of God's mercy is what God is calling you into. He says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was quiet in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire with burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around within. And they do not say rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Stand up, let us pray. Stand up, let us pray as we come to the presence of the throne of God this morning. I want you to close your eyes. The message of God is available for you today. Our brother that prayed in the morning talked about the hand of God. The hand of God is here to save you. The hand of God is here to deliver you. The message of God is here to bring you to himself. God is calling on you to restore you unto himself. No matter what you might have done, no matter the situation you might be in, no matter what you have done that you think that you have been messed up, only come out of it. Only dip your hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus. Only allow Jesus Christ to have his way in your life. Only allow Jesus Christ to have his way in you. Only allow the mercy of God to cleanse you now. The mercy is here. The mercy seat of God is here. Don't look down on yourself. Look up unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to raise up your hand. Mercy, say no. I'm not gonna let you go.
I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy, say no. Sin will never take control. Life and death and face to face. Darkness tries to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy, say no. Mercy, say no.
Able of God's mercy. The rainbow of God's mercy. Let's open to Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 28. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 20. Project for me quickly. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 28. Like the appearance of rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness of all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face. I heard a voice of one speaking. Let me tell you, rainbow symbolizes hope. It symbolizes remembrance. As it were, despite the fact that Noah obeyed the Lord, it was as if he was forgotten. And when we look at that part, the Bible says, and God remember Noah. Was Noah out of the will of God? Was Noah out of the counsel of God? Was Noah in disobedience? How come he was forgotten? Berebo appeared. If you look at this in actually KJV, not AK, you say a bow. Let's go to KJV. Turn that Ezekiel 1:20. Put KJV. I know you are projecting the NKJV. Let's see the KJV. The media, please. 128. Now, I want to. The appearance of a bow that is in the cloud. Appearance of what? That is what? When things were cloudy, when things appear unsure, when things appear unclear, when the vision is blurred, the Lord beams a light. That's the meaning. Appearance of a bow that is in the cloud is symbolizing the manifesting of God. This morning, I don't know how many people, certain things are clouding your life. You are passing through a period of uncertainty. You are even doubting some things. You are wondering, where is God? You don't know when God will do it. Today, the Lord will beam his light into every cloudy situation in your life. And there will be a rainbow in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will appear on the scene. You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning. Troubles take the last away. And there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away.
Jesus, who will wipe your tears away.
without the instrument, without the drums, I want to tell that song, I know I can make it. And again, with Jesus, I can make it. And then I will pray.
I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
With Jesus, I can make it.
With Jesus, I can make it. With Him alone, I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands.
Now lift your two hands unto the Lord as if you are raising it unto Him. Say, Lord, my life is in your hands. If you are online, do the same thing, whether you are audio channel or video channel. Heavenly Father, we lift our hands up as a sign of surrenderness of our lives unto you. With you, who we can make it. Yes, situations might be tough for us. There may be uncertainties around us. There may be doubts and agitations in our mind. But with Jesus, we know we can move forward. This morning, let your rainbow of mercy appear unto everyone. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I say unto you this morning, you that is in this service, you that is joining online, receive the rainbow of the mercy of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This symbolizes hope. This symbolizes help. This symbolizes manifestation. This symbolizes visitation. Receive all this in your life this morning in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will be noticed.
Amen.
You will be remembered.
Amen.
You will be set out.
Amen.
You will be set forth. You will be distinguished.
Amen.
You will be faithful.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for your daughter that you found this morning.
Thank you, God.
Let the rainbow of mercy of God appear in her life, in her family, in her home, in her work, in her business, in her career. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
For Cedar General Gospel Outreach, let the rainbow of mercy.
Amen.
Appear upon this ministry.
Amen.
On this altar.
Amen.
In this congregation. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed.